this matter in a vacuum, but what also is occurring, you're doing a major rebuild, how much of the of a drop-off would be an impact to avoidance of the construction traffic and delays?
Cameron's probably better able to answer that for 2012,
well,
but
the agency's done a very good job in trying to minimize that through a lot of the nighttime closures. I would say we factored it in our revenue forecasting, but I don't know that we're necessarily seeing it acting in actuality.
Well, but it's hard to really break out how much of any decrease is the result of people feeling like they want to avoid construction, even though we are, doing overnight closures instead of daytime closures. I mean, people still see barrels out there. They still see and feel as if they're driving through construction zones versus the other impact of, a toll increase or gas prices, or you're saying it's difficult to kind of limit those.
We can do everything in a model, but actual reality, I think the other alternative routes aren't really that attractive either in the congested area. So
there must be some history anyway within the tollway agency on what
you
see the drop off.
Particularly when you have a lane reduction.
Yeah.
Right? When you have a lane reduction, you're definitely going to see the impacts there. And you can.
And we'll see it in future years. And we've seen the chart. I don't know if we have it to pull up now, but we can circulate it again. But we did. I think we showed that chart too. That showed the significant drop off. Or what appeared to be significant drop-off in traffic as you saw more construction during the congestion relief program, for instance.
Yeah, when we develop the maintenance and traffic plans in all of our construction contracts, we do ask CEM Smith to give us a prediction on how much traffic is going to be impacted and how much is going to leave the system. And they give us an estimated value for that loss of revenue. And we do build that into the contract requirements, and that's is a big chunk of what we will charge the contractor if they don't finish on time. Because if they don't finish on time, we say, well, you know what, you are costing us this much money every day, that we go beyond the current completion date. So it does become a part of the liquidated damages. And so it definitely, we do task our traffic engineer with giving us those estimates, and we do utilize them to guide us on the maintenance and traffic scheme that we might choose. I mean, there are a lot of other factors that go into it, the safety of the workers doing the work and the safety of the motorists and the potential delays and the time it's going to take to do the work. So, but the loss of revenue definitely is one of the considerations also.
I just would encourage the directors, if when they're out and about, they hear people talking about either we did or didn't get the impact on the arterials that we had expected, it would be useful to hear that from the people who are responsible in the community, because certainly that was something that was a concern. And as we say, we can't really scientifically necessarily measure that, but I think it would be good for us to know as an agency if people feel as if their concerns had been overblown or whether that's worked out okay. Sorry, Lynn.
No. One of the slides that we were asked to provide as part of these quarterly financial reviews is an update on fund balances, particularly in the operating funds and in the capital funds. The fund balance in the maintenance and operations account remained at $26 million in total, but you can see that while our operating subaccount, the day-to-day subaccount that we use for operations, declined slightly in the first quarter, we did put aside the additional funds in the reserve that we had anticipated putting aside. With respect to renewal and replacement, which is one of the capital accounts, the balance increased $60 million, and in the improvement account, it increased $1 million from $137 to $138 million during the first quarter. And then we have a number of additional slides and information comparisons to the prior year and so forth, I think, that are available in the packets. I'm interested in looking at those comparisons. Any additional questions? Right, thank you.
Thanks, Mike. For sake of time, I'll abbreviate here a little bit more on the committee. We also had approval of the updated tollway investment policy. Policy was updated to include clarifications and modifications. Current investment policy, which was last updated in 2006. So we made some adjustments. One of them was the reporting procedures for filing a statement of economic interest with the Secretary of State's office. Now the Chief of Finance, the Deputy Chief of Finance, and then Comptroller, as well as the Executive Director before. Our Executive Director is receiving all of those. Now the direct reports to the Secretary of State's office for any conflicts of interest there, as well as authorization for investments and reporting requirements consistent with the requirements of the Public Funds Investment Act, Tollway Highway Act, and Tollway Trust Indenture, which Mike assures me they were doing all along. They're just basically this approval and update of policy is just doing so to say this is what we've been doing and we've updated it going forward. We also had approval to close improvement requirements which predate the congestion relief program. This is a little more complex. Maybe Mike can touch on this briefly. There was a couple items. We closed out some inactive and completed improvement requirements that were done. There were some funds, and I know there was authorization to spend approximately $1.4 billion, and I think we spent $950 million, and there was $140 million left on deposits, roughly. And then
it's a little complicated.
And those deposit improvements will be utilized for the congestion relief program and the New Illinois program. I don't know if you want to touch
sure,
on that.
Each time that the tollway board approves an improvement project, a new roadway, a widening project, the board is required under the indenture, requested under the indenture, to authorize the deposit of funds into this improvement account that we had discussed earlier to help fund that project. Currently, we have resolutions that are still on the books that date back to 1986 and are really associated with improvements that have been completed and closed in which no additional funds are necessary. And the purpose of this resolution is really to clean up and to close out all of those resolutions that are not needed any longer because they predate the CRP, to provide assurance that any monies that might be left on deposit in that $140 million can all be used for the congestion relief program and the Move Illinois program. So it really is a cleanup resolution that's a housekeeping measure that under the indenture we can assure investors and other parties that are interested with respect to those formal actions that all the funds available in the improvement account can be utilized for the congestion relief program and the mobility program.
Thanks, Mike.
Every 20 years without fail, we need to clean up
without
the
fail.
We also, during the committee meeting, we had Procurement Department presented four items which the committee approved to be placed on the consent agenda. As part of the resolution that was recently passed, further delegating the board's approval authority to routine CMS led procurement, there were two items that fell under that threshold. Also, during the meeting, engineering presented seven items. Two of these items were worth about $29 million in construction costs. They were for advanced work on the Jane Addams Memorial Tollway from Kishewaukee River to Sandwall Road. Construction required to implement the maintenance of traffic needed for the next year when the tollway has scheduled eastbound mainline construction work. There were 21 subcontractors as part of the award, and I think they met about the diversity goal of 18%. Approximately 18% was met there. In addition, there was final releases of retainage on three contracts. We also had legal present three items that were related to the workers' compensation. Mike Stone described briefly, went through the workers' comp process as the tollway has taken steps to limit our exposure. Mike had told us that our claim experience had recently reversed a trend of going up and has been declining in recent years. In 2011, the tollway's upside actuary recommended a reduction of the workers' comp claim funding reserve for prior year claims. Mike, I don't know if you want to say anything further about the workers' comp process as far as your review that you gave us at committee. Maybe give us a couple headlines.
Just to emphasize some of the steps we take to limit our exposures. One thing is to focus on worker and workplace safety, to remind our workers to take those necessary steps to prevent the injuries before they happen. We've also recently joined a safety working group that consists of multiple agencies that allow us to share information about incident experience as well as ideas on ways to safeguard the workplace. Other than that, we work very closely with our third-party administrator to operate as efficiently as possible, working with concepts and ideas such as nurse case managers and prescription card benefits to make sure our costs stay as low as possible. Thank you.
That's it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any questions for Director Peterson or members of the committee? Thank you. Appreciate it. And then the other committee that met was Director Reddick's committee. Do you have a report on that?
I do. The Customer Service Committee met on the 16th. Probably the first thing is there's been a little shakeup in board makeup. We made a trade. We picked up Director Banks and a first round pick for Director Darcy.
Thank you for the
rest. What's that?
Draft choice.
Right, we're 2020. We're really looking in the future. To that end, there was some discussion about changing the committee meeting schedule to accommodate some stresses on the staff and as well as the directors, and so we'll report back when that gets finalized. The meeting itself, we focused on the toll violation process. This was a discussion that was started during the previous meeting of the committee, and we took a look at, and the committee gave some instruction to staff in taking a look at kind of the financial modeling of what we wanted to see in the new process or any changes to the process. We're focusing on effective collection and efficient use of the resources that we bring in, and kind of it was discussed as almost a looking at kind of a hybrid approach, less of a punitive nature to the fine and collection structure, more of a customer based approach. One that would be, we're going to take a look at potentially being incentive laden, getting people to become IPAS customers or bringing their accounts into good standing, rather than focusing on the punitive and fine nature.
In the other part of my life in criminal justice, we would call it the punitive versus the rehabilitative, probably, right?
Yeah, I guess that's a good way to put it. One of the other things we talked about is under the current process, one of the things we evaluated some other similarly situated toll authorities and kind of their processes, trying to figure out what is, you know, the best practices, if you will. And one of the things that we took a look at and we thought were, I think kind of came out as a consensus, that the 2-year window that we allow, because of the amount of time that is and kind of the look back, it's hard for people to understand and get their arms around, so we're taking a look at that and what the practical and realistic impacts would be of making a change to that. I'm happy to report that there is a change to the appeal process that's going to be up and running in the next month or so. It's an affidavit of non-liability. Under the current process, if you get a violation, it's based solely on your ability to communicate directly with us to clear up the information, and what we've done is implement a system that allows people to get a violation notice to respond in a affidavit form, provide us with information, and assuming that they can provide the criteria, that we'll be able to take a look at that in a more efficient and effective way, dealing with violations that should not or were not properly issued or earned. Or pass them on to the appropriate party in those cases. The thought process is that'll take care of about 90% of the violation issues that we have now. So that's good news. Everything else that we talked about was related to the Trump contract, which is item 6.2, and so at this point I guess I reserve those comments until that matter comes up, if that's all right.
Thank you. Questions for Director Redding? Thank you. My only other additional item is just to thank Trinique and Wendy, who have been working on a survey for the Earth Day Summit, and we asked the people who participated their reaction. We've got a collated response data set that we're going to distribute and send back to people. Thank you both for that. Okay. Christy?
Great. Well, I wanted to let all of you know that Memorial Day is coming. I'm pleased to introduce Captain Perez, who's going to be talking to us a little bit about our, safety efforts and the way we plan to handle the traffic over Memorial Day weekend. It's, of course, a big travel weekend for a lot of people, and the tollway is expecting approximately 7 million vehicles are going to travel on our system this weekend from Friday through Tuesday. So we really expect the heaviest travel day is going to probably be tomorrow, when about 1.6 million vehicles are projected to be on the road. Our average daily is 1.4, so it's definitely going to be, higher traffic volumes, and we always work closely with the Illinois State Police in making sure that all of those customers and drivers are safe on our system. So, Captain, if you'd like to talk a little bit about coordinate my introductory remarks a little better with the remarks being given by the.
Madam Chairman, board members, everyone else, good morning. For those who haven't met me yet, I am Joe Perez. I took over the district here in April. We expect tomorrow to be the heaviest day. With the warm weather we've had so far this year, where we had our fourth 90-degree day, I think expect today, this has always been a traditional, unofficial start of summer. I think summer's been here a month and a half. But this is also the traditional start of vacation, holiday, travel season. So with that, and with school ending soon, many more children will be traveling in vehicles starting this time of year with summer. So I wanted to bring up again the troopers on District 15 are participating in the KISS program throughout the summer. And what that is Kids Identification and Safety Seat Program. It's a two-pronged program where certified police officers inspect the installation of child safety seats, inspect the seats themselves to make sure they're still operational, have been recalled, make sure they're installed in the vehicles safely and properly so they do the job they're supposed to protect the children. The other part of that is issuing or giving parents an identification card for their child that gives the critical information police need to find a child when they're lost. These are important issues. 2,100 kids every day are reported missing. Many of those kids are found quickly, but the more information the public has, the police has about that child, their height, their weight, their descriptions, things like that, that a parent, when they're nervous and scared their child's missing, just can't remember, take off his car, police and authorities have it very quickly. So it's an important program. And it's free. It's absolutely free to the public. The other part of this, 80% of child seats that are inspected, we found them to be either be defective or installed improperly. Again, putting the children at risk. And not only the children themselves, but the caretakers, the drivers, the parents, I'm sure that they want their children safe. We want to increase that safety. The KISS program is in full swing right now. There's already been, Wendy, correct me, maybe three or four events. Three events have been completed already. Over the summer through September, tollway troopers will be participating in 14 more of these events. Several will be on the toll system at the Oasis. The others will be very close to the system. Please pass along to any of you. I think it's an excellent program. Talking about child safety seats, I think it's also a good time to mention, we've heard this before, seatbelts save lives. Effective January 1st, there was a change to the seatbelt law in Illinois that everybody in a vehicle, regardless of your age, regardless of your position in the vehicle, you must be wearing a seatbelt. It used to be children or people under a certain age, minors, in the back seat had to be seatbelted. Now everybody, whether you're an adult or a child safety seat, teenager, anyone in the vehicle must be seatbelted. It's a law effective January 1st, especially of this year. Christy mentioned we will be out in force this weekend across the state, especially here on the system. I will warn everybody now, I have 18 brand new troopers who graduated the academy this fall. They finished their field training program. They are all on their own starting this weekend. And as you can imagine, new troopers who have been sitting next to another trooper for 20-some weeks in the academy and another 18 weeks of field training, they are definitely eager to make their mark on the world. So, they're worried. We're happy to have that aggressive nature on the streets, but they will be looking to find some enforcement. We also do have a number of speed enforcement details, impaired driver details, drugged and drunk driving details this weekend. So again, we'll be out in force. Talking about the speed details, speed, of course, is the number one contributor to traffic crashes on the interstate. Did a little research, and we always talk about speed kills, and you know, you get the speeds increase with fines. Sometimes those messages don't get bridge travel time per patron on the system. And in comparison to speed limits, if you're in a 55 mile an hour zone, if you increase your speed to 70 miles an hour by 15 miles an hour, which again, substantial fines, it's unsafe, you've only shortened your trip by 2 minutes and 20 some seconds on the average trip. And that's for a 15 mile increase. So again, same thing from 65 to 80 miles an hour, you're only increasing your trip 2, 2.5, 3 minutes. I hope many of you probably feel the same way. Is that 2 minutes worth somebody else's life, your life, or the significant injury and property damage? Something to think about, maybe a new approach we can take that you're really not saving time if you go that way. One of the last things I'd like to mention is the work zones. Of course, we know we're going to have several here on the system over the summer. Speed, again, is a major contributor, but also inattentiveness of drivers during work and work zones. Major contributor accidents and work zones. In addition to obeying speed limits in those work zones, many times they are given 55 and sometimes 45. Monitor your interval. Following too closely is another one of the offenses we at the Illinois State Police consider a fatal fine. When you're too close, you don't have time to react. In a construction zone, this is compounded by the very narrow lanes, construction workers on the side. We've all had those occurrences in our lives where, as in our driving lives, where that flagger jumps out, puts that stop sign out, and we're on the hooks pretty hard. Without that interval, you have very little time to react. So give yourself some time to react. And in closing, I'd also like to remind everybody, using a handheld device in a construction zone in any way is unlawful. You cannot text, you cannot use your cell phone in any way in a construction zone. And of course, we've all heard over a year now, texting and using your PDAs while you're driving to do any kind of electronic communication, emails, text messaging, that is also unlawful. But in a construction zone, you cannot use your cell phone in any way. So I wanted to add that as well. Just a reminder, some people don't know that. Be happy to take any questions or
thank you. Are there any questions? We will all be obeying the law. Thank you very much and good luck. I hope we have a very safe weekend.
As do we. Thank you.
Thank you. Just another update on the 53120 Blue Ribbon Advisory Council. Last Friday, the Illinois Route 53120 Blue Ribbon Advisory Council completed 9 months of discussion and deliberation with the approval of a resolution and final report. I want to thank Rocco in particular because he was really the staff person, as he frequently is, on various advisory councils and Blue Ribbon task forces and corridor planning councils and just about everything else we do that's a coordination effort. He did a great job on this one. And Michelle Graham also did a fantastic job. So we had some great staff work that got us to this point. The report recommends the Illinois Tollway move forward with a new 21st century toll parkway to serve the needs of residents and businesses in Central Lake County. The council's resolution represents a significant step forward, but there's certainly more work that needs to be done. Because there were some edits made at the council meeting itself on Friday, we're still working to incorporate those into the final report. The report was adopted and the resolution was adopted as edited, but we want to put that in the final document. And because the document is substantial, how many pages? 100?
110, 112
pages. We are going to send that out to everybody with a copy also of some of the comment that we received, the comment log that tracked comments from not only advisory council members but also community members so that all of you can review that document. I'm sure that will provide some nice beach time reading for all of you on your vacations in early June. But we'll be getting that out hopefully next week, I think. you know, but again, the council did acknowledge that more work needed to be done. And, you know, there are still some outstanding questions on financing. There's still some work that the tollway needs to do to analyze and assess the impact of some of these recommendations on, you know, our ability to construct and build this road. So we're hoping that at this point the council co-chairs are currently scheduled to come in June and, you know, present the findings of the report, but hoping for a more dynamic discussion. And we'll make sure to get the document out to all of you a couple weeks in advance so that you can have a chance to at least take a look at some of the major, you know, major components. But this was a tremendous step forward and a tremendous effort that was 9 months or more in the making. So we're very happy that is wrapped up and on to the next stage, whatever that is.
9 months, 40 years.
That's right. So 9 months, you're saying, looks good in comparison to 40 years.
We've been 40 years.
It's shorter. It's shorter. Right, that's right. So I mentioned that the legislative update, you know, we've only got, I think, a week and a half or so of session left. One of the items that we were pursuing was some reform and procurement, you know, amendments to some of those procurement reforms that were, you know, increasing not only our procurement times and delays in our procurements, but really across state government they've had a similar impact and kind of slowing things down. And, you know, we worked and have been working closely with members of the General Assembly and the caucuses and other state government agencies to see if there's, you know, a way without compromising the, you know, good intentions of those reforms that we can get, you know, some legislative relief on some of those things that are really extending the time frame. It doesn't, at this point, I'm not sure that a bill will pass this session. They're discussing, you know, a lot of items right now down there, you know, pension reform, Medicaid, budget, cigarette tax, I mean, many, many, many things on the plate of the General Assembly, but we're going to keep working on that and, you know, are hopeful that we can receive some relief because it's having a very real impact on our you know, ability to put a program out on time. I took a tour of the Fox River bridge in the Fox River area with a couple others here from the tollway, walking tour by Steve Byers of the Illinois Nature Preserve Commission, which is a sub-agency to the Illinois Department of Natural Resources, of the high-quality natural areas surrounding I-90 on the east side of the Fox River. Among the sites we visited were the Trout Park Nature Preserve and Fox River Country Day School, or at least the former grounds of the Fox River Country Day School. Both sites, approximately 17 acres, are the only remaining forested fen complexes in the state, making them very unique natural resources to the region, and we're going to want to be very thoughtful about how we deal with them and how they are impacted as we do our work on the I-90 corridor. So, you know, I want to thank the staff that organized that trip, and we certainly opened my eyes to, you know, the very real impacts that we can have. Potential negative, but also I think some real opportunities for positive impacts because, you know, some of these areas, you know, we have an opportunity maybe to partner to clean them up and to, you know, preserve them and get them back to their more pristine state, shall I say. So if any of the board members wish to go on a similar tour, we can certainly coordinate that, so let us know. We'd be happy to coordinate that, and you know, might be a good opportunity for you also to you know, take a walk around and look at those very important natural areas. As you also know, and I sent out I think some drafts for your comment. We're going to be slightly changing, you know, report formats for the Move Illinois reports so that you can get, you know, all the information on the Move Illinois program. So please let us know if you've got any feedback for us on those reports. We had a very successful construction networking event. Gustavo and his team did a great job of organizing last Friday that construction networking event. I don't know, Gustavo, this is spontaneous, but would you like to say a few words about it? It was really fantastic. About 200 professionals attended.
Actually, you know, in these kinds of events, one looks very well, not necessarily because of the work that personally we've done, as much as it is all the work that people behind the scenes have done.
Right.
And I'm thinking about Wendy and Wendy's group. I'm thinking about Peter's whole staff, the PMO also giving us a hand, very significant, and it makes us look so good. I mean, my job is so easy, so it's false. when we have such a strong team behind us.
Yeah, there was a fantastic effort there, and this is really an opportunity. We had done a professional services event, but this is really an opportunity on the construction side for smaller businesses, you know, DBE, MBE, WBE firms, small businesses generally, to network with, you know, maybe prime contractors or others who could be partners on tollway projects, and also to talk a little bit about upcoming work so people would be aware and familiar with, you know, work that was coming. So it really was a great effort and a great job by many of the staff here. Communications, diversity, engineering all worked together on that event. Circle interchange update. This isn't, you know, technically a tollway project, but we've been working closely with the Illinois Department of Transportation, and as you know, last month Governor Quinn announced a joint venture to really take a look at that circle interchange and potentially reconfiguring it. The project is estimated to cost approximately $40 million, and we really think that we like to believe that a lot of the work of the Earth Day Summit and looking at the I-90 corridor as an entire corridor, not just the Jane Addams but the Kennedy, and how we interact with the Illinois Department of Transportation system, really pushed you know, to have some I think much needed consideration of how that circle interchange functions. So we're very excited. We've been asked to work closely with IDOT you know, as they continue on that project, and it's definitely something that, you know, design and engineering work right now, but ultimately, you know, we're hopeful that we can, you know, create a better transportation system here. So I think that's everything. If you have any questions for me, I'm happy to answer any.
Any questions? Good. Well, thank you, Chrissy, and all the people who work with you. All the many, many things that you do, well, deliver on time. Great. So let's turn to the consent agenda. I think these first two, do you need to do a quick presentation on those, or how would you like to do those?
Yeah, finance has two items. First is the review and approval of an updated investment policy. Director Peterson mentioned earlier this morning, as well as the item two is approval to close out portions of those old improvement requirements. 20 years. Yes. Finance recommends approval of this item.
May I have a motion on both of those, please?
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any extensions? Okay. Thank you. And we'll turn to business systems. The first item, I believe, we're going to defer to executive session.
Yes.
Okay.
That's right.
This is the item that we'll bring back when we come back into full session after the executive session. Procurement?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Four items were already approved under committee, but the first one was recently added, so I'd like to present that. This item is an order against a CMS master contract to purchase the Velocity Hearst security system. This contract provides a source for the current A1 Velocity Hearst security system that provides for the centralization of the tollway's door access and security system at all key entrance areas. Award is recommended to the lowest and responsive bidder, A1 Lock Corporate Hardware, doing business as they will not, in an amount not to exceed $270,000.
Are there any questions on that? And this was something that just hadn't been through the process in time to go through the committee?
That's correct.
Director Peterson, you're okay with this?
I'm looking at it right now, yes.
Okay.
We have one vendor on this?
Yeah, that was the only response, the vendor that responded to the CMS's solicitation. And they are going to be going out for a new solicitation in the near future as this master contract expires in February of 13.
Okay. And no diversity?
No, they didn't place any DEP goals in their contract.
And this is through CMS's master.
Right. Okay. The reason why we're presenting this is because it's over $250,000.
That's fine. Thank you.
Okay. Good. Well, then may I have a motion? I think we can do 1 through 5.
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any extensions?
Any hearing? Mr. Chair, seven items were presented. at the FAO committee, and they were all agreed to be placed on the consent agenda for today. In the interest of just informing the board on three of the items, the DBE goals, it was on three of the closeout items where we had construction final releases of retainage. On item number three, the goal went up from the FAO committee from 32.85 to 34.86. On item nine, it went up from 27.51 to 28.54. And on item seven, it went up from 16.69 to 17.34. So they were all positive variances. We were finalizing some of the numbers, and the DBE people rely on engineering to give them the final dollar value before they can do their calculations, so they didn't have it in time. And on item seven, I want to.
Oh, may I just ask a question on that?
Yeah.
Those percentages of the contract goes up, does that mean typically a larger dollar amount is going to the MBE, or the whole cost of the contract is lower so that the percentage appears to be higher but there's not more money going to a DBE, or is that an understatement?
I think in each one of these cases the final dollar amount was increased, so the percentage
looks bigger, but
yes,
it's still the same amount of money,
yes,
that goes.
On item seven, there was a $5,000 variance between the amount I requested to release and the amount that I am requesting today too. So I would like to present that to the full board so I can have that proper retainage number be put on the resolution.
Okay.
So item seven, should I just present that one now?
Please.
Item seven was a final release of retainage on contract 5628, and this was to John Burns Construction Company. They installed a camera watch system on our ORT Plaza cameras. All the work has been accepted and completed. The retained amount that we're going to release to them is $229,105.92. And at the FAO committee, it was $224,000. So there was a $5,000 change there.
Okay. Any questions on that? Well then, and I believe that we have a refusal on number two, so let's take number one alone. May I hear a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any abstentions? Number two, Director Towns refuses to stop.
I'd like to make some comments on number two.
Please.
One of the things that I did bring up during the finance committee meeting, that even though we do meet the MBE goal of I believe it was 18%. Since I took a position here on the board, and I really appreciate Toby giving us this information for all the directors, is that now we are breaking up the DBE goals under a very detail within the ethnic groups. And I really appreciate the Toby being proactive with our diversity and meeting with these prime contractors, because obviously as we're still facing issues with the unbundling of contracts, that even though we're meeting our MBE goals, if on this one you clearly see that about 25% of the MBE goal is to African and Hispanic companies, where 75% of the MBE goal is obtained by Caucasian females. And when you really run the numbers here, you start looking at, even though we meet the DBE goal of 18% of an $11 million contract, the African and Latino contractors will make up only $525,000 of that $11 million. Moving forward, I just would like to see that the tollway staff, when they do put out their RFPs to the prime contractors, that they do play close attention not only to the meeting of the DBE goal, but also to the ethnic groups that are being represented to meet the DBE goal. And I just wanted to make that comment so the directors could kind of really start paying attention to that detail of the ethnic groups.
I think that's helpful. As everyone knows, we are actually looking at a new study about how we think about what the potential pool is out there and what our responsibility is in terms of disadvantaged groups. So I think it's a great comment. I think we should need to do it in a larger context where we really have a lot of data, but we absolutely, I think it's important that we go through this, and we need to figure out what is the utilization that complies with the requirements or comports with the requirements of the law. So, and I know we have now enormously good staff that can help us think this through, so we will absolutely take your remarks seriously and go forward. And is this likely to come through strategic planning, this whole question of...
Well, we've had a joint, I mean, the last discussion we had on diversity was joint with the finance committee, so I would anticipate that as we continue to refine, they'll continue to be joint, because it's really in the purview of the committee.
Okay, and obviously any other director who's interested can attend those committee meetings, but that's where it will happen. Okay, thank you very much, Director Gonzalez. So we have a motion on two and a second. May I hear, right?
I didn't hear that. What's your motion?
Okay, may I hear a motion?
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any abstentions? Okay.
Sorry, I oppose.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Is that recorded? Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. I'll take 3 through 7 as a group, unless there's any concern about that. Okay, may I hear a motion?
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. And then 6.5, legal.
Good morning. Thank you, Chair. Just for a housekeeping item, so the Chair will be aware, we're going to deal with numbers 1 and 5, items 1 and 5 in our public session, and plan to move 2, 3, 4, and 6 to discussion in executive session.
Okay, thank you.
And item 1 is an item long time in the coming, dealing with 294-57 interchange. Is a fairly straightforward intergovernmental agreement. The essence of the agreement is to allow a very cost-effective and efficient progression of the work at that interchange. It is an agreement among the tollway, IDOT, and Cook County, primarily because we all currently have property interests in that area. It is a recognition that we will need to come and go on one another's land, so it provides access, and then it tells us all that we will be squaring up on ultimate property rights somewhere down the road. So staff would certainly urge the adoption of that, or basically give the tollway authority to go and enter that sort of IGA.
So a long time coming, if it doesn't give you a stomachache, how long has it been?
I think we already used 9 months today at one time, and that's how long I understand this agreement has been worked on.
Time to
go. So that's item number 1.
Okay.
And then turning to item number 5 is a fairly ordinary course, what we call the Benedetto parcel disclosure. Turning our attention back to 294-57, our colleague Joanne Fenn is on board, although this one is fairly standard. The item we'll talk about in executive session on 6 also, she's happy to field questions on it.
And just, we'll talk further about this, but just on the public record, we did have a discussion last month about how we figure out how to do recusals on this property acquisition, and I know the legal department with Christy and others have been working on this, so there will be a process that will be developed. We had a ad hoc process that we used, but we're going to discuss that further. Okay, then may I hear a motion on numbers 1 and 5, please?
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. Is there anything else on the consent agenda? Anything else on unfinished business? Any new business?
Okay.
So we will formally come back into session after the executive session, but for those who will not rejoin us, we thank you for coming and wish you a happy Memorial Day. And again, congratulations and thanks to the Alameda Corridor Council, and thank you very much for coming today. So may I hear a motion to go into executive session, please?
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? We'll take a 5-minute break.